Welcome to the Building with Metal podcast, presented by McElroy Metal. Whether you're a contractor, architect, designer, or building owner, we're here to help you build better with metal roofing and siding products.
Hello, I'm your host, Kathy Miller, and today we're thrilled to be joined by Scott Tonlin with DI Seamers. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I appreciate the offer.
Always sure. A pleasure to visit with our friends at DI.
No doubt. Long relationship's been great. Yes, ma'am.
We have been together a long time as far as a partnership. How long has it been, Scott?
Oh, it's been before my time, so it's been at least probably, I'd say, going on 15 years or so. So it's been a good relationship. I run the customer service department here now, and we have a good team. We take pride in it. You pick up the phone and call us. We like to answer it and be on the other end. You talk to a human, you know, so that's a plus. And so we're kind of old fashioned that way. But, McElroy has been one of our best customers, always been on our side. We appreciate them. And, I'm glad to be here today to answer questions for you for sure.
You bet. And I know there's no way we could do what we do for our customers without you guys. So thank you. So yes, before we get started, Scott, why don't you give our listeners a little bit of a background about who you are and how you got to where you're at today?
Okay. Well, just years ago, you never know in life. You make friends along the way. And old friend of mine I used to work with at Caterpillar Corporation called me up one day. We used to have a moving company together too, believe it or not. That's hard on the old back. But anyway, we had a moving company back in the day, and, he just called me up and said, Scott, I think I have a position, be great for you. We need somebody in their sales department. We don't sell anything hardly anymore, Kathy, so we don't even use sales terms anymore. So we call it customer service now. So he called me up one day and said, Scott, I think this would be perfect for you. We went to dinner and, me and him and the sales manager at the time and from then on, it just worked out. I was like, when you're going on 50, well, I guess 45 or between 45 and 50, you know, you're like, do I really want to change and do something different? But the opportunity, I just couldn't pass it up, because sales and dealing with people is kind of who I am and all who I've always been. I've been in the furniture industry and sales and so forth. So, it just worked out, and I landed here and just been here ever since. And really enjoy my job.
And we can tell that you're very passionate about it. So for those of you that may not be familiar with DI Seamers, let me start by kind of sharing a little bit of a background. And so DI Seamers is a company that specializes in the seaming machines that we use for mechanically seamed standing roof systems. Many years ago, McElroy, probably 15 years or so ago, by Scott's account earlier, we used to manage our own seaming machines, and they would come back into us between times, and we'd clean them and try to change wheels and cogs, and just quickly decided that we needed to stay in our lane and do what we were good at, which was manufacturing panels, and then find a partner who could take care of all of the other issues. And those issues are maintenance between uses of machines, but one of the biggest things we count on for Scott and his team is even troubleshooting during the seaming process. So I kind of want to start there today, Scott. Let's kind of dig in and start unpacking maybe some of the most common seamer issues that you find from folks when they're on the job site.
Okay. Normally, it's motor brushes. It's usually smaller things like motor brushes or fiber rollers or backing pads. Those are the three perishable items on the seamer. And we pack in with the case a field kit. And so we have extra of those we send with every job. Okay. So if you do run a poor power supply, or if that motor is just getting toward end of life, we'll overnight you some motor brushes to get you through the job. If we need to send you another seamer, we will, but power supply is the biggest thing. We're asking everybody, if there's a sticker on the seamer now that says, please use a 10 gauge cord, no more than 100 foot from your power supply. And then we're asking, of course, So we tell them what size generator and everything to use. And, if you do that, usually you're going to be able to get through that job. If that's, cause now we're testing, we are really testing these motors. So we put the motor under a load. Used to, we send a seamer out, you turn it on and we're just going by how well the motor sounds. We're like, well, that the motor sounds good. Looks like we're good. We'll send it out. Recently about, well, it's not recently. I guess 4 years ago, we started putting every motor we sent out under a load. Because that's what they're going to be under when they get on the roof. They're pulling that seamer and folding metal. So they're under load at that time. Now we're testing it and we know that that seamer should get you through that job before we even send it out. That motor anyway should get you through the job.
Well, that's fabulous. What a great upgrade from a service standpoint for you guys. So, you know, you said a lot there. I want to talk a little bit. You mentioned the power supply is the biggest problem you see. And you know, that you want the certain gauge and the 100-foot cord. In case somebody, is thinking that's possibly their problem, how is the seamer going to behave, if the power supply is an issue?
It's not going to run to its optimal speed. It's not going to have the amperage to the motor sometimes. So it's going to struggle and strain. And where that goes is straight to the motor brushes. It'll just burn that carbon up and you're going to start having to swap motor brushes out. If you swap motor brushes, you still have a high percentage of that roof left. You're going to need to get a better power supply going toward it because that motor won't last you through the job likely. Okay. And we'll send you, if it goes down, of course, we're going to send you another seamer, if necessary. But, if we have to, we'll overnight motor brushes to get more motor brushes to get them through the job. But we preach power supply here. That's why we put that sticker on that motor. And then you need to have at least a 2,500 watt motor, with a 20 amp plug. That's at the minimum, okay, on a generator size. And if you have that, you're running 100-foot of cord, you're going to be golden usually.
Okay. So you mentioned that you might send out new motor brushes. Does the contractor in the field then swap those out? And what does that entail?
He does. And we have a video on our site that shows you exactly how to do that. It's really simple. It's really two screws. You pull a two little plates off each side, unscrew the motor brush, slide the other back in, screw it in. It's 5 minutes tops usually and you're back in business. So we get that call, Kathy, of course, we get that call says, hey, this seamer stopped or it's throwing sparks or it slowed down tremendously. And the first thing we ask them to do is change the motor brushes. And now 98% of the time, that's what it is. And so then they're up and running again, you know. So then we always, our field tests are going to ask you at that point, what percentage of roof do you have left? So if you put those motor brushes in, you've got 70% roof left and maybe you had previously been running a poor power supply. Our guys are going to go over that. All right. Now you've switched to a good power supply, but did we do enough damage to the armature and the motor that we might have another brush failure? And at that point, we may send you some extra brushes to make sure you get through the job.
Got it. Okay. So power supply is a very obvious common issue for seaming machines.
It is.
What are a couple of the other common issues you guys run into?
Mostly hand crimping is going to be about 85% of our service calls is going to be hand crimping issues. Okay. A lot of guys, I think I've mentioned this in the past several times. Men will just go over and they'll yank that seamer out and that crimper and they'll just go to work without looking at the field guide. They're like, I've run a seamer before. No issues. If we had women only on the roofs, they'd whip that field guide out and they'd learn something before they started doing it. But that's just how men are. You know, men are going to grab it. I've done this before, and they'll end up crimping it wrong because there are different crimping procedures for different panels. Most basically, it's the same, but when you go from single to double lock, it's different. And then how far you're supposed to single lock and how much double lock you're supposed to do. That's the key. And that's they know they're supposed to single and use the single lock crimper and double lock, but they'll use it incorrectly. We have field guides right now that we just redid them a few years ago. They are so good. If you just looked at the pictures, you couldn't mess up a crimp, literally. and then we have videos online as well. If you can watch a video, you won't mess the crimping procedure up and you'll be off to a good start. Starting these things off is the key. And so you have to crimp it correctly to start right. So crimping is going to be our main issues. There's going to be, they've got to look for, you know, panel spec's a big deal. McElroy, I'll just go ahead and brag on them some more about that. We very seldom ever have issues with the panel being run out of spec. So somebody's doing a good job on your end, Kathy, in quality control to make sure when that thing comes out of the end of the roll former, it's in spec. So they're obviously checking them however many per comes out. And so, we very rarely have any issues with that. But if you did, we have ways. If you run a short, female down leg or something, we have ways, setups and adjustments to try to, keep from having to peel and replace and still have the integrity of the roof in place when we get done seaming it. So we have different, we troubleshoot. That's what we do best. We have saved panel manufacturers and builders alike millions of dollars over the years, but not having to peel and replace something and us working with them. And even field guys going out on the job site, that's our last resort, but we do it. I don't know how many times a year, 15 times a year, maybe we're on a job site at least, working through issues and troubleshooting. So that is what we are good at. We don't like just throwing seamers at it. You know, hey, let me send you another seamer and that'll solve it. Because that seamer, if the first one went out, I mean, if you saw our procedure on what we go through here at DI to get a seamer out the door with the correct setup, you'd realize that very few go out of here that are not right. Okay. Now UPS can be rough on them and you might get one that's got a broke wheel or a broke block off of it or something, broke wheel block or a switch block or something like that. But usually the setup on the seamer, unless you see it physically broken, it's going to be the right setup for the panel. We're real good at getting that out the door correctly. So if we just throw another seamer at it, you're likely going to have the same issue. Now we do that sometime because the builder needs to know, hey, you will send it. We'll say, okay, we'll prove it by sending you another seamer, exact same setup. And it does the exact same thing. Then they start listening to what that seamer is running into. What is it? Is it not crimped at the lout tight enough? Have you got separation in your panels? Is there pillowing because of insulation that's making the wheels of the seamer touch and ride up? There's so many different ways, but our guys have seen about all of it now. And through pictures and FaceTime has been great and videos, we can usually solve the problem. We're solving the problem, without having to send another seamer 95% of the time usually. So that's what we want to do.
That's a really good point. You know, I remember years ago, right? I sold panels and counted on you guys for seamers and it was like, just get us a new one, right? That is kind of the yes. initial impression. I think it's going to fix everything. And you're right. Oftentimes it's not the seamer issue, right? It's some other related issue. So, yeah.
And then you're down, you have downtime and downtime is money. And we don't want these seamers are heavy. We don't want them to have to pack them up, take them off the roof and then get another one and bring it back to the job site. If we can solve it without doing that, that's what we're trying to do for sure.
Absolutely. So what about dirt? I know sometimes construction sites can be really dirty. Does dirt ever cause an issue with a seaming machine, Scott?
It can. It can cause the tooling to get scratched up or the backing pads to get scratched up. Most of the time it's a backing pad, but that backing pad's going to ride across the top of the horizontal female leg most of the time. And if it gets scuffed up with dirt, it will start showing swirls and scratches in your paint. So we asked them to keep the seamer clean, and you can take a push broom and set it on top of a rib and just push the dirt off. Now, most construction sites, we realize over time that most construction sites, there's trucks in and out. They're going to kick up dirt. It has to be pretty dirty before it starts really affecting the seaming process, but it definitely can. So if you see excessive dirt on the roof, you definitely want to try to take care of that before soon.
Perfect. So besides making sure, you know, power supply is good, making sure dirt, you know, is the roof is pretty clean. Any other things that general tips that we should make sure to have an installer do during their
really checking the number one, you hate to go take your panels up on the roof and start putting them together and crimping them at the clip locations and not checking panel specs. So somebody needs to take a quick look at the panel specs and print and go, yeah, that all looks like it's good. That's one of the number one things is if your panel's in spec, Next thing is going to be installing it correctly. Using clamps, you know, using clamps around when you're crimping at the clip locations while you're installing. That helps keep from vertical separation or separation at the bottom of the panel. Okay. Cause your panel can pull apart like this. That's going to cause problems when you go receiving it. So clamps helps keep that together. And when you're, and you, you know, when you crimp it, then it stays together, you know, but using clamps as you go helps. And then, of course, like I said before, pillowing, you're going to have if you have thick insulation, it's going to cause the center of the pan to pillow. Okay. And you don't want the wheels of that seamer touching that and hitting that, of course. So, installation, make sure panel specs are good. And then, you know, make sure there's no separation of panels. What you're looking for is to seat that male leg inside that female leg and all the bend points be in there correctly. If you get that, the seamer's going to do its job and you're off to the races and a good start on seaming your roof for sure.
Yeah. Great point. So one of the other things too, in case we have some listeners that aren't familiar with seaming machines. So does every seaming machine fit every panel or are there differences?
No, there's differences. Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So there's a 3-station, a 4-station, and a 5-station. I can tell you what they're most commonly used for. 3-station is most commonly used when you're just single locking a roof. And in most cases, it's a bi-directional option. So if you're just single locking your roof, you get a 3-station seamer. It's bi-directional. It's less money. At $50 a day, it seams in both directions. So it's going to save you time. You're going to be able to get that sealing procedure done quicker. And it's lighter. Okay. So, a lot of guys love that single lock option. Okay. And then the 4-station is for a double lock roof most of the time. It's going to be a 1-direction machine only. It's a little bit heavier and costs a little at $5 a day more to rent right now, $55 a day. Okay. And then there's the 5-station option, which is usually for your, a lot of industrial panels. We can do a bi-directional option on that too, if you're just single locking it. And then we do the double lock, 1-direction double lock, on several industrial panels that we do.
So in case somebody's not familiar, a 1-directional versus a bi-directional, literally some seaming machines will only run from eave to ridge, correct? And then others can run from eave to ridge and back down from ridge down to the eave. And so in theory, really cutting your seaming machine time in half, right? With a bi-directional.
Correct, because you're not walking it back down the panel. When it's traveling, it's seaming. So that's a great option. McElroy has a couple panels that mostly the T panels, you know, you can do that with. And so you can really seam the T panel faster that way. The Maxim is a 1-direction 3-station, which is different because it has the hook in the female down leg. And then the ADV, is a 4-station, seamer, 1-direction, of course.
And when you talk about a station, again, in case our listeners aren't familiar, it really is a set of tooling, right? They're a mini roll former of sorts.
That's correct. So 1-station makes up of a fiber roller on the backside that helps pull along and move the seamer. And then on the seaming side, it's going to be a piece of metal tooling. And that's going to fit on a crimping procedure and transition. You load the seamer and then you hit the button and it's going to take off from there. But each station is going to have a fiber roller and a piece of tooling. Sometimes the last station is going to be a metal on the backside to hold that in place so you don't get spring back, okay? Because you will get spring back. When bending metal, it doesn't want to bend. It wants to come back on you. So a lot of cases on the fourth, on the very last station, we put a metal piece of tooling, and that keeps from having spring back.
For sure. Perfect, perfect. So earlier, you know, you talked about the importance of looking at a panel and making sure it was on spec, you know, before seaming it. Any other steps as a best practice, Scott, that the contractor should look at doing or architects if they're out observing before they physically start the seaming process?
For sure. If you've had panels laying on the ground for quite some time, there's been trucks in and out of your job site, there's a good chance they're going to be dusty. Try to clean them before you put them on the roof. You know, I've been on many a job site and I'll see them laying there and they'll just be covered with dirt. And you're just hoping that somebody will take the time before installing it to clean those off a little bit for sure. We're not wanting those backing pads to pick up that dirt and start scratching panels. First call we get, as you know, is, hey, your seamer's scratching our panel. when in reality, when you get to the bottom of it, we start getting pictures from the job site and everything, and the roof will just be covered with dirt. And mm-hmm. we'll ask them to address that, and we'll give them some tips along the way on how to address that. Sometimes sometimes we've had to put, a little Dawn soap in a spray bottle with water and spray ahead of it and wipe it down. It's come to that in some cases before, for sure.
So, you mentioned earlier, and I know this is one of the things that McElroy really leans on you guys and takes a lot of confidence and pride, and that's you guys, how you troubleshoot when people are out on the field. And walk us through, Scott, what's the process of somebody seaming and okay. with one of your seamers and they're having an issue?
So first thing we do is we have a 188 number on every chain guard on every seamer. Okay. So it's clearly right there. We have the saying around here, if you run a foot of seam and you don't like it, give us a call. We are sitting here wanting you to call us. You know how permanent bending metal is. We don't want you to keep trying different troubleshooting on your own when we may can help you with one or two simple steps to get you going. So when you call in, we make notes on everything we do. If we have to make an adjustment on the seamer, which is rare now, we hardly ever have to make an adjustment on the seamer. But if we do, we record it. We tell them how many times to turn each turnbuckle on each station, and then we record that. And every conversation is time stamped. It's got the text name initials with it that talk to them and what exactly went on with the job. Okay. And then the next step is we just start asking a series of questions. Okay. What's it doing? We start getting answers from that. Then we start asking for some pictures every now and then video. And then sometimes it'll get to the point where our tech guys will actually set up that same panel. We keep panels from all our panel manufacturers in stock here at our facility. We'll set that same panel up on a test bed and we'll go through a process, FaceTime with them and show them exactly how they need to do to combat what they're running into. Okay. So that's how a service call goes. We're going to ask it. Really, it starts off with just asking a lot of questions, and then we get to some pictures, and then we start asking them to do what we need them to do, or adjust a seamer or whatever. So a lot of times, like I said, it's as simple as a crimping procedure, just done a little bit wrong.
And you mentioned earlier at the start of our conversation, right? All of that's with a live person, right? You guys pride yourself on the
Correct.
Fact that it's not an automated phone tree and a chat bot online or whatever.
That's right. That's right. We have a chat. We have an app. You can download a DI app and you can chat with us on that. We found that very rarely does a customer do that. They want to talk to a rep. So they just grab their cell phone on the roof and they know they've got a camera and a video in their hand as well. And we start asking questions and start getting feedback. And usually, like I said, probably 95% of the time the issue is solved without having to send a seamer back or send a tech on job or it getting really deep. You know, and then if it does get deep, if the panel manufacturer needs to be brought in on the conversation, it could get to that point. And at that point, we'll say, hey, we're going to contact the panel manufacturer, tell them what we see. Sometimes the customer has already called you guys as a panel manufacturer and telling, you know, sharing what's going on, the issues they're having. But we're in good communication with the builder and the panel manufacturer. If you call in here, our guys would have to be on lunch for you not to get them on the phone right then. Okay. And then they alternate lunches. So that's rare unless he's on the phone with another customer. Okay. So our policy is we have to get back in touch with that customer within the hour.
Really important when you've got a crew standing around a job site, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. We don't want to leave them in that heat. You know,
yeah. Exactly. Or the cold. I mean, I'm in the Midwest and then, you know, we're coming up on winter here. So
that's right.
So, you know, I want to focus for just a few minutes, Scott, on the things that people can avoid, to try to stay out of trouble. So you mentioned making sure those panels are good back to back. Obviously you mentioned making sure that male female leg is hooked. What about modularity?
Yeah. So, making sure they're in modular is got to do with those clamps mainly, okay? Unless you're just an expert and you're doing the exact same panel all the time, you're going to want to use clamps, you know, so your bend points are together. So we have a modularity clamp that that grabs low on the vertical leg. That's bringing together. And then we also have one what's called a universal clamp that goes underneath the seam, and that pushes that male bend point into the female bend points. Okay. Now you've got everything lined up, and you do one of those on one side of the clip and one on the other, and then you crimp that clip. In the middle, you're off to a good start, and you just continue that process as you go. Now, once they get several of them together, I've seen them back off and they don't use the clamps anymore, and everything starts staying in modulation at that point. But modulation is the key, in separation. You don't want those paddles separated here or here. And, if you get that, you're gonna have seamer issues. Sometimes the seamer will, because you know how some people are, they're just going to go up there and throw a roof on, and they may not take these steps to put it together properly. There are many occasions our seamer, if you just do the crimping procedure right, starting it, it'll run along and it'll pull that male leg up under there right, and it'll actually correct some modulation issues. But I wouldn't count on that.
Right.
For sure.
That's when you're living right, right?
That's right. That's when you're living right. You're holding your mouth right.
Yeah. So let's talk for a few minutes about, you know, what separates DI seamers. Obviously, you have competitors. And I assume it might be processes you guys do in between applications as well,
yes,
as the troubleshooting.
Yeah, we take our seamer all the way down. We take all the tooling off of it every time it comes in. We have what we call an associate one, they take it apart, associate two, they get a naked seamer off the shelf with a container full of parts, and they assemble them at that point. But yeah, we definitely, take that seamer down. We clean every single part. We requalify all the tooling. So they'll go to a lay in the cleaning process, then they'll go to a lay to make sure they've, take all any nicks or anything off the tooling. Then it goes to our quality lab to be requalified. And then at that point, if it doesn't qualify, it goes to the scrap bin. If it qualifies, it goes back into used parts section of her. So we have, of course, and we own the whole process. So we manufacture everything here. Okay. Pretty much except for switch block and motors. Everything else is pretty much manufactured here from scrap. Most of our seamers are made out of aluminum. All of them are made out of aluminum, and all of them are going to be, anodized black and gold. Okay. So that's how you can recognize ours. But yeah, we own the process, and, it's been beneficial to us. We can change the angle on a piece of tooling if we think it'll get somebody off a job site, you know, whatever we need to do.
Yeah. Right. Right. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, saving people millions of dollars, by not having to rip off a roof, which is huge, but also a lot of time, right? You know,
sure.
Build times are tight, and time is money in that regard too. So, if someone wants to order a seamer from you or find out more about DI seamers, what's the process for ordering, and how can they best find you guys, Scott?
Okay. They just go to diroofseamers.com, and they'll see at the top of the page, it says there's a product, and then there's a rental form. If they want to purchase hand crimpers, they can. And then the rental form will take them straight to all our panel manufacturers page. Okay. And so they'll see the panel manufacturer, they'll see McElroy Metal there, and they'll use that page specific to your product. Okay. So all they do is hit panel name in a drop down box. We'll show them every panel that you guys have mechanically seen by us. They choose that. They put the gauge and material in, the seam height then. And so on purpose, we have kind of checks and balances on our order form. So we ask you to put the seam height in. Some of them are going to autofill it. Some of them won't. If you put something that's a 2-inch and it's actually a 3-inch panel, you're going to get a call from one of our customer service specialists, and they're going to ask you, hey, what's, it's not this panel and this panel. So we're going to make sure. And another thing we do, we make sure, you have a hand crimper before we send a seamer out. Okay. So, if you haven't put a hand crimper on there, our customer service specialist is going to ask you if you have one. They're going to call you, because there's nothing worse than getting a seamer on site and not having a hand crimper. So we're going to make sure you own one if you didn't put it on there, or whatever. We're going to add you one. But that's something that we're very good at. We started doing that years ago, because we'd get a order in, it wouldn't have a hand crimper on it, and they'd get it on the job site, and it, you know, I thought that came with it automatically. Well, no, it doesn't, because so many people own their own nowadays. So
yeah. Exactly.
Right.
And so then I assume there's a spot on there for them to put, you know, what date they want to receive it, and then how there does it return back work?
Yeah. So they put a date needed on site, and most of them put a realistic date. If they don't, we're going to call them and say, hey, you're not going to get it on this date. It's two more days in transit for you to get it there. If you get your order in by 2 p.m. Central Time on any given day, we ship the next business day. Then when you receive it off the UPS truck, you have to sign for it because of the size and weight. That's the day your rental starts. Then it comes with a return ship label on the inside lid and instructions on how to send it back. We even have a video online how to send the Zebra back. Once you get done with it, you take it to your local UPS store, take all the old labels off, put the new label on. When that Zebra gets back to us, your rental days stop. Okay. We don't charge rental days on the way out, but it does on the way back. When it gets back to us, that's the day your rental stops. And then we'll invoice you. If you cross over into another month, we're going to invoice you. Or when the Zebra returns, that's when you get invoiced. Or if you do expedited shipping nowadays, go ahead and put this out there. We're going to charge expedited shipping charge right away. That's the only time you get a charge right away.
Okay. We're kind of drawn to the end of our time together today, Scott. Anything else about Zebras that, you know, or DI that you want to make our listeners aware of?
Well, just you asked a while ago, and maybe I didn't answer the question, but what separates us is customer service for sure from our competitor, and then troubleshooting. Okay, so and we know firsthand. I would say that our competitor is a good one, but they're happy with the way they do business. We're happy with the way that we get people through issues in our business and struggles, and you know, and we take pride in that. We get a lot of Google reviews and a lot of customers calling in and say, "Hey, man, I work with your guys out back, Dalton and Ethan, and in the technical department. And they really took care of us and got us finished on this job." And so that's what we like to hear. But we're customer service and technical support is where we're different for sure.
Absolutely.
That's where we excel.
At McElroy, we take a lot of pride in hand-selecting partners and having really long-term relationships with them. And as long as we've been together, that's a compliment to you and the team as well. You guys do a fabulous job.
Thank you. It usually takes, before somebody sees us as a partner instead of just a vendor, it takes one of those bad jobs. And then we get on the job site, or we get them through it and we solve the issue, and they're like, man, then we become more of a partner than just a vendor at that point. And that's where we want to be for sure.
Yeah. Problems can become opportunities for sure. Well,
that's right.
Scott, thanks so much for joining the show today. Before we sign off, you want to share with our listeners how they can find you if they want to chat with you directly or have questions?
Yes, you can call, we have a 1-888 number on our website. We have, diroofseamers.com. You can get in touch with us download our app. Our app is really simple. Believe it or not, about 55 to 60% of our orders come in through a handheld device. Okay. So you can go download DI Roofseamers, app. And that's going to be one of your key things. If you're on a job site and something happens and you need some clamps, you can order that product right there, and they'll be shipped to the job site hopefully in just a few days. But yeah, that's how to get in touch with us. You can Google us. We're going to be the first guys that pop up as far as Zebras, and we hope to do business with you in the future. And we sure appreciate our partnership with McElroy Metal.
Well, the feeling is mutual. Thanks again for joining the show today, Scott, and have a great rest of the day.
You too, Kathy. I sure appreciate you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the Building with Metal podcast, presented by McElroy Metal. To stay up to date with our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at www.mcelroymetal.com for more info and products. Until next time, keep building with metal.